Told my wife, I said, well, we're kind of running a little late again. Brother Mark said, a few years back, you were late if you weren't here 10 minutes till, right? That's easy for him to say. He lives here. Somebody sent me an email this week about a little kid that was playing outdoors. His mother heard him out there talking. She knew he was by himself. She looked out the kitchen window, and he was out there talking to the cat. She got to listening. It sounded like he was talking to the cat about Jesus. Listen and listen. Start telling him some Bible stories, you know. A little bit later, go back out there. He's out there getting a little louder, preaching to the cat. She says, oh, that's cute. You know, 5-year-old out there preaching to the cat. A few minutes later, she started hearing this meowing, screaming noises, thrashing around. She went back out there and she looked. Here he had a tub of water and he's trying to shove the cat down in. And the cat's fighting for his life, you know. She said, Johnny, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't shove that cat down in that water. What are you doing anyway? I got to baptize him. Don't baptize that cat. Cats don't like water. He should have thought of that before he joined my church. I'll never forget. My wife said that her folks went out and visited a church out in California. I can't remember. It was a Lutheran church? Methodist church. They just went and visited. Before next Sunday, they were out there visiting with them from the church, telling them how much money they were supposed to put in the offering every week. Oh, that afternoon. I'll bet you some people thought about that. You know, before they joined the church, there'd have been some changes made. Anyway, now last week we were talking about the Lord's coming back again. And we looked at some things that we knew for sure. He's coming back, and that's for sure. We know that so. We know that because of the power in His Word. You know, one day it struck me that a person can take something that has no value at all. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would pay anything for it. It has virtually no value at all and make it into a highly valuable thing. For example, I could go back into the trash, dig out a piece of paper. On the back side of that piece of paper, write my bank account number on it, write pay to the order of, and I can make that thing worth every dime that I have in that bank with my signature. And I thought, my goodness, if I can do that... $3? Well, I said I could make it as valuable as everything I had in the account. I didn't say how much that was. But if I can do that, take something worth nothing and make it into something worth something, can you imagine what God can do? I mean, literally, we already know He's unlimited. This book right here is the written Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And He's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. So how much value does this thing have? I can tell you this, it's a lot more valuable than the rest of the stuff you're reading. For sure, you know. Anyway, we also looked at, He's coming like a thief. We know that. I mean, it was really crystal clear the way He states that again and again. We also know it's going to be very fast. He says, as lightning comes out of the east and shineth to the west, you know, so shall His coming be. 386,000 miles per second, you know, flying, man. It's going to happen instantaneously. It's going to be here now and then gone. You say, when can that happen? Anytime. Just any old time. We'll look at that some more today. But anyway, we're supposed to be watching for Him daily. We're supposed to have on our mind that He could come back today. And He told us to watch. He made it really clear. Now, why does He want us to watch? Well, I can't think of a single reason. I can see where He says, comfort one another with these words. I can see where that'd be a great comfort. But what's the purpose in watching? And He actually does have a purpose. And He tells us a little bit more about that. We'll look at that a little bit further also. And we won't expect it when He comes back. We know that when He comes, He's going to do it in such a time as we think not. We also know it's going to solve every problem we've got. I don't care what your problem is. When the Lord comes back, you're done with it. It's over. You say, well, I'm looking forward to having to go see the doctor this next week, or, you know, getting where I'm having to put up with this problem or that problem, or, you know, I'm fixing to lose my house. Lord comes back, you're not going to have to worry about anything. You're not going to have to worry about the next car payment and the next, you know, electricity. You're going to leave somebody with a whole bunch of junk that you leave behind and somebody else with a bunch of debt. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, who's got credit cards unpaid? Bye-bye. You talk about throwing the world in a set of chaos and confusion, man. It's going to be a mess after we're gone. We also know it will be during a routine day. One just like this. So how do you know that? Look over in Luke. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Now look down further in verse 34. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other one left. Now, do you see anything unusual or chaotic about that, that would identify that as an unusual day? Absolutely not. I mean, it's a day just like today. Now, there are some issues we'll get into a little later about what we think we know and when we think he's coming back and stuff. But believe me, that's not the point. The point the Lord makes is he wants you to watch. He wants you to watch daily. He wants you to know that this thing is going to be a big surprise to you. And he expects you to watch because foretold is forewarned. I mean, none of us are going to be able to get up there and tell the Lord, well, I didn't know that. Did you know that ignorance of the law is no excuse with mankind? Do you know how many excuses the court systems allow into the system to keep from prosecuting or punishing people nowadays? Ignorance of the law is no excuse, but if that cop reaches into a stolen car and finds some stolen property on the seat and turns one over without a search warrant, that's illegal search and seizure of stolen property. And that cop right there just let the guy off the hook for everything. Now, those are some of the excuses they give. But man says ignorance of law is no excuse. Well, if it's not an excuse with man who gives excuses left and right to themselves, how do you think it's going to be with the Lord? He says they will be without excuse. That's what's going to happen. We're warned. But we just kind of fall into this routine, you know. About the most we ever think of this stuff is while we're here for an hour or two. And then sometimes that even gets uncomfortable. And it's kind of like, oh, come on, man, let me get back to living. I'm looking forward to dinner. We're thinking just about ourselves a lot. But they're just eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they buy, they sell, they plant, they build. Some are sleeping, some are working indoors, and some are working outdoors when he comes back. Anything there to identify it? Absolutely not. Now, there are some indications. How do you know? Because he said back over there, he said, of that day and hour knoweth no man. But he also says in another place, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly time and season. Anybody know what day and hour a woman's going to have a baby? I mean, unless it's C-section. But natural childbirth, you can't get it close. I mean, time and season? Oh, yeah. You can get close there. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that thing out. That's what he's saying about us. We should have some kind of understanding and expectation of the times and seasons that these things are going to happen. And he's given us plenty of information about it. Some of the stuff we understand clearly. Some of the stuff is kind of confusing. Some of it's really curious. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff later, but have you ever wondered what's going to happen to your pets? I mean, what's going to happen, you know, if the Lord comes back, butlers are all gone. Who's going to take care of them horses? Who's going to take care of those dogs? I mean, I envision that kind of crazy stuff where we leave and my poor dogs are there and they run out of food and they run out of water, you know. And I'm serious. You know, I think about this stuff. I get out there and I think in details about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, you know. Is it just going to be a bunch of looters running around stealing everything they can get their hands on? What's going to happen? I mean, if it's at the end of the tribulation, then you know the Lord's going to show up. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. But if it's any time prior to that, there's going to be a period of time there that all that stuff is just absorbed into the system and it's grabbed as you can. It's going to end up about like New Orleans over there after a hurricane. I get these emails once in a while. They got pictures of these guys carrying off TVs and jewelry and guns. I mean, they're carrying off stuff they can't even use. Why? Just because they can get their hands on it. Well, can you imagine what that'd be like to have a whole bunch of houses go empty? All these cars, where are the keys? Keys are left behind, man. Go get whatever you can get. They'd be running around stealing it and stealing from each other. And what chaos, man. But I think like that. Lord, you're going to take care of my dog? I love my dog. The righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Lord, you didn't die just for me. You died for all nature. All nature groaneth and travaileth, you know. That atonement covers everything eventually. You realize that. I mean, when he finally comes back, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, right? And the snakes won't be poisoned anymore. And they're all going to eat grass like an ox. We're all going to be vegetarians. Well, they were vegetarians back in the garden, weren't they? Well, God says, okay, well, now you're not. You're meat eaters. I enjoy a good steak, man. We had some pork chops the other day. It was just out of this world. I said, wow, that stuff is great. Somebody said, don't eat that meat. That's okay, more for the rest of us. There's all kinds of things going on that the Lord set up. And that atonement covered those animals too. You know how you know? Because they're under the same curse we're under. You know, animals kill and eat each other right now because of that curse? That's why. I mean, it's kind of weird to think, you know, the little fish are eaten by bigger fish, you know, and that's the way the whole thing's supposed to be. Evidently not. Evidently, the Lord's going to take care of all that. So what is he going to do about the animals? I don't know. I'm sure that if we have any understanding of what happens after we're gone, that he's going to take care of them. I'm sure of that. And if he doesn't take care of them, we'll understand like he understands. We'll have the mind of Christ and we know it won't matter somehow. I get to where I even start thinking about my animals in terms of being with me up in heaven. Now, he says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, right? Well, what if that'd bring me pleasure to have my dog that I raised for years, that I still love, and it's gone? What if that bring me pleasure? The Lord says, Heidi, go tell him about what you thought. What do you think we're going to do? You think that dog's going to bark up in heaven? If there's dogs up there, and you say, you know, without our dogs, God made them too. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You don't think there's going to be animals there? What's God going to do out in the future? I know this, that if God wants to give me that dog back, he can give me that dog back and live forever. You know that? And there's going to be room enough for everybody, including the animals. And I think the animal's going to talk to me. You say, where in the world do you get that? It's over there in Genesis. It's over there in the Old Testament. Where? You remember Balaam's ass talking? What did he say? That animal spoke what was on his heart. An animal didn't say something God told him to say. He said, man, haven't I been faithful to you and carried you about and done all of this stuff for you? And now you want to kill me? What for? He was reasoning with him, and it was what was in his heart. He said, I'm trying my best to be a good animal for you. You know where else that stuff goes on? It goes on back in Genesis. That serpent spoke to Eve, didn't he? You see any surprise on her part? None at all. Well, why wouldn't she be surprised if one of the animals started talking? Hey, Adam, this thing's talking to me. No, I think there was other stuff going on. You say, well, that sounds a little bit far-fetched. Well, your imagination's just not as good as mine, that's all. And when he says, I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man, you don't really believe that. You don't try to imagine the stuff out there that my Father has got prepared for me. I don't know what he's got for you. I mean, you may be satisfied with just a little cottage in the corner of Glory Land. Not me. Not me. I want everything he wants me to have, and I want to appreciate him more and more for every tiny thing that he does. I don't want my attention to be drawn to that. I want my attention to be drawn to him. And that's my desire. You say, what is it? I don't care what it is. But when he does something for me, I don't want to consume it upon my lust and say, that's great, and I want another one, or I want more, or I want one. They got something I don't have, Daddy. Give me one of those. I don't want to care about anybody else. I just want to care about him. I want to know that everything that exists, he made it. He made it for his pleasure. And he derives pleasure from my pleasure, but only when my response to him is correct. And I want it right for a change. Anyway, getting back over to this, it's going to be a routine day. To me, it sounds pretty much like yesterday or tomorrow. Do you think the Lord could come back tomorrow? Some people say, well, I don't think he's coming back for another 7 more years. I'm going to be nice. I don't know when he's coming back. Well, I know this. He said, be ready. And he didn't mean at the end of 7 more years. He meant today. Now, I don't care what we think we know. And we're going to talk about some of that because we think we know a lot more than we know. I mean, when was the last time you found out you were wrong about something when you thought you were right? See, there's a lot of stuff we think we know. And the stuff that I've covered so far, we know. Why do we know it? Because God made it crystal clear. There's a bunch of stuff he didn't make clear. At the same time, people think, well, I know that because this says that. Well, I know that because this says something different over here. Well, I know you're wrong and I know I'm... Those are just things you think you know. One preacher said, don't ever try to understand a clear passage in the light of an obscure passage. What's that mean? That means that when you read something that's crystal clear, don't get over here to one that's vague and say, well, these two conflict with each other. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to translate this thing over here now in the light of this other one, because this one over here is the one I like. And that's where it gets down to. It gets down to the point where people wrest the scriptures to their own destruction because they get a preconceived idea and they go to this book trying to prove something that's not there. And when they try to do that, all of a sudden these clear passages get overlooked, put off to the side, you know, passed over and just kind of dismissed. It's like that thing we were talking about the other day when we said something about, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And he says, well, that knoweth, that was a present tense, and so therefore now they do know. You realize what you just did? You just changed what it actually said. Didn't you? Now, will he know before it actually happens? Sure he will. Not only that, there's going to be a lot more things than that. You realize that some of the saints coming back with him are going to know in advance? How much in advance? I don't know. I guarantee you they're going to know on the way. They're going to know on the way. And that's another great part of this thing. But anyway, let's move along here. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, and we know that. How do we know that? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You got anybody you love that's already gone? You know anybody that you love that you'd love to see again? Do you? You just like to visit with them if you could, right? I mean, I'd take anything at this point sometimes. You realize that at that moment in time, there is going to be a time of fellowship right then like there never was before. Never. What do you mean, never? I'm talking about every single saint from the Old Testament, from Adam and Eve, all the way up through that moment in time when he comes back. Every single one that's covered by that blood, they're all going to be right there at one time with Jesus Christ. The whole congregation. I mean, that's not going to just be you and him and a few of your friends. That is going to be one monstrous get-together and a start and a time of fellowship that's unbelievable. And he says you're going to be caught up together with them in the air first. Isn't that peculiar how he words that? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Which brings up another point. You realize that that is going to be a permanent situation? It's not going to be just this visit. It's going to be from now on. You stop and think about that. From that moment, you're going to be with Jesus Christ permanently. Amen. It's not going to be, well, I'll see you later. I'll be back. Uh-uh. And the whole bunch is going to be with him the whole time from then on. Doing what? Having a great time. Even during the transitional period of the millennium when he rules and reigns with a rod of iron, you know, he's going to be in communication with you in another way. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be like telepathic. You guys are going to be hooked up constantly and you're not going to need a cell phone to do it. How do you know? Well, you're going to rule and reign with him. He's going to control the whole thing. So how's he going to do it? You think he needs a TV set? You think he needs a radio? You think he needs newspapers? No, he does not. Why? Spirit of God, if nothing else. He's communicating with you on a supernatural level because you've got supernatural body. You have the mind of Christ. It all just fits like a hand in glove. The whole thing fits right together. So you're going to be with him for the rest of the time. And who else? Moses. Moses, yeah. Adam, Eve, David, Daniel, three Hebrew children. You know, you just go down the list. They're all going to be right there. And you're going to be able to meet them and enjoy talking to them. You say, what are you going to do for 1,000 years? You're going to fellowship. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get a chance to actually communicate with people. David's going to say, you see that mountain right up? That's where such and such. Oh, really? Yeah, that mountain right there. The geography is the same, see? Now, he makes the desert spring forth. I was curious about that. Where was it? Walls of Jericho thing. How'd that? We crossed the Red Sea right here. Tell me about that again. I mean, that's just neat. You know, when people start telling that stuff is fixed into their memory, they don't just tell you about it, they relive it. I've seen a lot of guys when they start talking about something that happened to them, war and different things, and they'll start sweating. They'll start getting tears in their eyes. They're not just telling you a story. They begin to relive it. Wouldn't that be something to have somebody tell you that stuff that actually lived it? Tell me about Goliath, David. Where'd that happen? I was right over here. Come over here. I think about all kinds of things that go on like that. When you start considering all the things that God can do and what he has done, you begin to realize who he is that made us. You realize the things that please him, the things that he enjoys. You ever think about that? Mostly we just think about ourselves, don't we? You know why we're supposed to be watching for him? Because our affections are supposed to be up there. You know why you're not watching? Because your affections are down here. That's the truth. I mean, you'll know for sure if you hadn't thought anything week to week about him coming back. Why? It's because you've got all these problems. You've got all this stuff going on. And that kind of brings me to a rabbit trail. You know, I don't mean for it to, but it does. You start thinking about things like, well, God, why do you do this? Why the surprise element? Why meet him in the clouds? Why do you do all of this odd things that you do? Some of the peculiar things that you do. He does them all so that we'll have our attention drawn to him and we'll appreciate him more for it. You know, there's something about Christmas gifts. You know that? Parents love giving kids presents, don't they? When you stop and think about this. Have you ever bought anything for one of your kids that you knew was the perfect gift that they really wanted and they didn't think they were going to get it? They really didn't. They kind of hoped they would and they really wanted it, but they didn't think they were going to get it. And you got it for them and you knew it was there. And what were you waiting on? You were waiting for that surprise, but the whole time you enjoyed the fact that you know they're going to get it. Where do you get that sense of anticipation from? You get it from the one that created it. It was not Satan. He doesn't enjoy that stuff. The only one that enjoys that stuff is your father. Why the element of surprise? Because he enjoys it. So why'd you do it like that? Did you forget I made it for my pleasure? Well, come on, tell me what's in the box. Tell me what's in the box. When's it going to be? That's the element of anticipation that the parent enjoys, not the kid. I wonder if Jesus Christ said, "Hey, Dad, are we getting close?" "Yes, son, we're getting close." I was just curious. You'll know when it's time, I'll tell you. You stop and think about that. The parent gets up Christmas morning knowing that that kid is going to go down. It's best if the parent goes in and wakes him up, you know. "Hey, it's Christmas morning." "Yes!" I saw one of these America's Funniest Videos. It was a riot. This kid's sound asleep, passed out cold. Dad comes in with a video camera and he says, "Son, get up. It's time to get ready to go to school." Kid lays there. He says, "Time to go to school. You got to get up." Kid just lays there. Third time, even louder. And then quiet, he says, "It's Christmas morning." Man, that kid was out of there like a shot, rubbing his eyes and staggering around. That was wild. Now you stop and think about that. A parent enjoying that much of that kid going down there, going to open that present up, knowing it's the perfect gift. Now that's what the Lord senses. And I got a feeling that those people coming back with him, those saints that he brings with him, they get an advance about this thing. It's like Christmas morning, he goes to one of the other kids and says, "Come on, watch this." Do you realize that event will be the most phenomenal event that's ever taken place on the face of this earth with regard to the purpose for it all? You say, "What about the cross?" The cross was not why this world was made. The cross was so that he could get what he desired, which is your presence and your fellowship based on your desire for him forever. That's what he wants. That's the start of it all. That's the beginning. That's where it all starts. You want to know why he kept it secret? For the same reason you keep the stuff secret on Christmas morning. Because of all the things that have ever happened, that's the best one right there. Same reason you guys keep it secret. There's no new thing under the sun. You can look at you and see what you enjoy. And you can realize that every one of those things is the same kind of things on a right level that God enjoys. One preacher said, "Every bad thing on this earth is a good thing twisted." And I believe that too. I mean, it's Satan messing this stuff up. He can't come up with anything new. He doesn't create anything. He's the destroyer. Anyway, next week we'll get back into some of this stuff and probably look at a little bit more of the reason that God set it up this way. But it's about him. It's not about us. This rapture isn't about what do we get. His coming back isn't about how it benefits us and getting us out of our problems. If you can't understand it from his perspective, then you can't understand it at all. All you end up with is an opinion. But if you really want the knowledge of the holy and you want to start to know what's going on and why God did what he did, you're going to have to understand it from his perspective and see the purpose he has in all of this stuff. And his purpose was for his pleasure and for your good. Let's close in prayer.